from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the main points. Business forum to improve relations between Indonesia and countries in the Latin American and Caribbean region. Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly emphasizes Indonesia's digital sovereignty, which is essential. Now the news in detail. Indonesia's relations with countries in the Latin American and Caribbean region have been running since the beginning of its independence days. However, various fields still need improving. Second Secretary of the Directorate of Intra and Interregional Cooperation for the Americas and Europe at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Rina Permatasari Bey, in an interview with Voice of Indonesia RRI in Jakarta on Friday, explained that to improve relations between the two regions, it could start from improving people-to-people contacts and through various forums.
Aquí en Indonesia tenemos un dicho, ¿no? Tak kenal maka tak sayang.
In Indonesia, there is a saying, tak kenal maka tak sayang, meaning not knowing, not loving. So it is very important to have a lot of activities, a lot of forums in various fields of economy, culture, sports, or art that can bring the people of Indonesia and Latin America closer together. Moreover, according to Rina Permatasari Bey, the opportunity to increase cooperation with the countries is very possible because Indonesia and countries in the Latin American region have many similarities.
Creo que tenemos mucho más en común. Tenemos pasión en deporte.
I think we have a lot in common. We have a passion for sports, a passion for soccer, and we are big economies because we are developing countries. We need to combine our strengths, our resources. Furthermore, she also pointed out that the Indonesian Latin America and Caribbean Business Forum is to take place in Peru from September 11 to 13th, and it is one of the forums that enhances not only cooperation in the economic field, but also between communities. Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Fadel Muhammad, affirmed that amid celebration of the 79th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia, digital sovereignty is essential because new challenges and opportunities in the digital era will certainly grow. Fadel Muhammad on Friday emphasized that the nation's sovereignty is determined not only by military and diplomacy, but also by mastering technology and protecting digital assets. Then, digitalization has brought Indonesia to a new era in which the independence must be maintained in a different way. According to Fadel Muhammad, digital independence is an ideal that reflects independence and the ability to manage and develop technology independently. Not only about adopting technology, but also about creating a safe, inclusive, and sustainable ecosystem. He said Indonesia has enormous potential to become a leader in the region in terms of digitalization. Member of Commission 4 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Johan Rosihan, encouraged the government to reduce dependence on food imports because it is not in line with efforts to realize national food security and sovereignty. Through a written statement in Mataram on Friday, he emphasized that dependence on imports not only has an impact on national food security, but also threatens the welfare of local farmers who should be at the forefront of meeting Indonesia's food needs. Attending the annual session of the Assembly and the joint session of the House in 2024 and the state address of President Joko Widodo in the 79th anniversary of independence at the House Complex Senayan in Jakarta, he called on the government to immediately conduct a comprehensive evaluation of the national food policy. Mozambique's ambassador to Indonesia, Belmiro Jose Malate, expressed his hope that bilateral relations between Indonesia and Mozambique will be stronger in the future. After attending the annual session of the Indonesian House in Jakarta Friday, Ambassador Belmiro said that last year, Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited his country and it was a very good opportunity to deepen the relations between the two countries. He hopes that bilateral relations between Indonesia and Mozambique will continue in the new Indonesian government. Saudi Arabia and Morocco signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Friday to enhance cooperation on health. As reported by ArabNews.com, Saudi Health Minister Fahad Al-Jalayjal and Moroccan Minister of Health and Social Protection Khalid Ait Taleb inked the accord in Rabat. A statement by Morocco's health ministry also said the accord calls for cooperation in improving healthcare quality and patient safety and in combating pandemics and epidemics, including early detection and control measures, as well as in scientific research in health and medicine, and facilitates information exchange in telemedicine. With the U.S. presidential election less than 3 months away, Americans are being bombarded by wildly conflicting statements about the health and direction of the country's economy. As quoted by VOA.com, former President Donald Trump, the Republican nominee, frequently declares that the country is approaching economic Armageddon. In recent appearances, he has warned that the country is on the brink of a depression, described the economy as broken, and claimed that rising prices are making average Americans miserable. Prime Minister of Vietnam, Pham Minh Chinh, chaired a meeting between permanent government members and representatives of ministries and sectors on Friday to discuss the building of a draft law to amend some contents of finance and budget-related laws. As reported by Prime Minister Chin, who is also head of the Steering Committee for Reviewing and Resolving Problems in the Systems of Legal Documents, he underscored that institutional building and perfection form is one of the three strategic breakthroughs targeted by the party and state. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights: Indonesian Consulate General in Sydney strengthens 75 years of diplomatic relations with Australia through music. The Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Sydney, Australia, in collaboration with the Australian Institute of Music and Infinity Health, organized a music night entitled Indonesia Music Night. As an effort to strengthen 75 years of diplomatic relation, Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia Sydney, Fedi Kurnia Buana, through an official statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Thursday, pointed out that this music night is one of the best manifestation of strong ties among communities of both countries. The music performance, which was also held to celebrate 79th Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia, took place at the Australian Institute of Music Amphitheater. The event was attended by students, alumni, staff, and friends of the Australian Institute of Music and friends of the Australian Institute of Music in Australia. The celebration of the 79th Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia took place at the Australian Institute of Music Amphitheater. Meanwhile, Head of Educational Engagement and Learning, Australian Institute of Music, Julian Goh, said that he was proud to be involved in the event, and for the first time organized activities in the framework of the 75th anniversary of the diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Australia. To support the promotion of Indonesia's Spice of the World, the event also presented a variety of Indonesian dishes, including klepon, pastel, layer cake, and risoles. And that's Diplomatic Corner.
We begin today in history with an event on August 17, 1945, when Indonesia proclaimed independence. The proclamation of Indonesian independence took place on Friday, August 17, 1945. The proclamation text was read by Indonesian First President Sukarno, accompanied by Indonesian First Vice President Muhammad Hatta. The proclamation of Indonesian independence took place at Jalan Pegangsaan Timur, No. 56, Central Jakarta. Previously, Muhammad Hatta asked young people who work at the Domain News Agency to reproduce the text of the proclamation and broadcast it. On August 17, 1945, at around 5 a.m., representatives of the young and old groups finished drafting the proclamation text, which was signed by Soekarno-Hatta, according to Sukarni's proposal. They agreed to proclaim Indonesia's independence at 10:30 a.m. Western Indonesia time. The next struggle was to distribute the proclamation text. One of the people who contributed to spreading the news of the proclamation of independence was Yusuf Ronodipuro, an announcer at Radio Hoso Kyoko. Yusuf Ronodipuro, assisted by Bahtiar Lubis and Joe Saragih, tried to improve radio technical matters because at that time the radio channels were tightly guarded by Kempetai and several channels were cut off. At 7 o'clock in the evening, Yusuf Ronodipuro broadcast the text of the proclamation in Indonesian, while the English version was read by Suprapto. The news of independence spread throughout the archipelago and abroad. Moving on to August 17, 1950, about the first independence celebration ceremony held at the Merdeka Palace. The ceremony commemorating the independence of the Republic of Indonesia was marked by the raising of the heritage flag, shown by the wife of the Indonesian first president Soekarno, Fatmawati. The ceremony to commemorate the first Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia on August 17, 1946, was held in the courtyard of the State Palace, Yogyakarta. President Soekarno became the inspector of the ceremony. It was also attended by Vice President Muhammad Hatta, Commander-in-Chief General Sudirman, and ministers. Meanwhile, the ceremony at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta was held for the first time on August 17, 1950. Quoting Indonesia.go.id, this moment coincided with Soekarno's return from exile on Bangka Island in early 1950 after the Round Table Conference, December 1949, as recognition of Indonesia's independence by Dutch. After that, every August 17 at the Merdeka Palace, a ceremony is held to commemorate the moments of the proclamation of independence with a heritage flag raising ceremony. In 1968, the heritage flag was no longer hoisted to maintain its historical value. Instead, a duplicate flag was made of silk. That's Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Cinta semua yang ada padamu Indonesiaku. Ku cinta.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Canada expects closer cooperation with Indonesia in the future. Canada is committed to continuing to strengthen bilateral relations with Indonesia. In a meeting with Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, Canadian Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Jess Dutton, conveyed the commitment. Agreeing with Ambassador Dutton, Erlangga Hartarto believes that cooperation between the two countries will continue to be continued in the next period of Indonesian government. In the meeting, they discussed several strategic topics, including the development of the Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or negotiations. Coordinating Minister Erlangga hopes that these negotiations can be completed soon during the period of the current government. As is known, the 8th round of Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement negotiations has taken place in Ottawa, Canada in June 2024 and will be continued in the 9th round of negotiations in Toronto, also in Canada, in September 2024. Ambassador Dutton also announced plans for a Canadian trade mission to Indonesia, which will take place in December. He said a Canadian business delegation will come to explore potential cooperation in various sectors, especially in understanding business regulations in Indonesia. During the meeting, Coordinating Minister for the Economy Erlangga Hartarto and Ambassador Jess Dutton also discussed the clean energy sector. The Indonesian government is conducting a feasibility study for the development of small modular reactors in West Kalimantan, and Canada is ready to support this effort in the future. At the end of the meeting, Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto appreciated Canada's support for Indonesia's accession process to the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. Coordinating Minister Erlangga also believes that Indonesia's accession process to the organization can be an umbrella for accelerating reform in Indonesian economy. That was My Indonesia Today.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Karawang Regency is a region located 97.4 kilometers away from the wayside of Bandung City. Historically, this district was known as the rice barn, but it has now transformed into an industrial area. It is often referred to as the city of the struggle's best, as many significant historical events in Indonesia took place in Karawang District, including the intense battles between Indonesian independence fighters and Dutch and Japanese colonizers on September 19, 1945. The Monument of Determination, located in Rengas Dengklok, Karawang District, West Java, serves as a source of inspiration for the local community, particularly in their effort to fight for and uphold independence. This monument stands as a powerful symbol of the Indonesian struggle and determination to achieve independence. Additionally, the Monument of Determination honors the former headquarters of the Defenders of the Homeland, or PETA, which was a military organization established by the Japanese during their occupation of Indonesia. The monument is situated next to the Proclamation Monument and the Rengas Dengklok Historical House, where Sukarno and Muhammad Hatta were exiled by a group of young activists from Menteng 31, Jakarta. This historical monument, part of the commemoration of Indonesia's sovereignty, was officially inaugurated on August 17, 1950. It is also commonly known as Tugu Proklamasi and is located between Jalan Raya Tugu Proklamasi and Jalan Alun-Alun in South Rengas Dengklok Village, Rengas Dengklok Sub-District, Karawang District. Monument of Determination, widely recognized as Tugu Rengas Dengklok or Rengas Dengklok Tower, carries a deep philosophical meaning. The base of the obelisk symbolizes the collective struggle of the Indonesian people for independence. The square body of the obelisk represents the unity of the Indonesian struggle, while the round top signifies the unwavering determination to achieve independence. The lofty symbolizes a steadfast grip on hard-won independence, while the chain and pole represent a strong and solid bond among Indonesians united by Pancasila. Listener, as we celebrate the 79th anniversary of Indonesia's independence, let's hope that the determination expressed by our past independence fighters continues to resonate in the hearts of all Indonesians, regardless of ethnicity, region, or political belief, while fostering harmony, unity, and integrity within the Republic of Indonesia. That's all for today's episode of Indonesian Wonder. See you tomorrow at the same time and frequency. Thank you.
Telah
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
On this special edition of Indonesia's Independence Day, today's miscellany informs you about Indonesian flag raising troop, or Paskibraka, who raised the heritage red and white flag in the new capital of Nusantara. The ceremony commemorating the 79th anniversary of Indonesia's Independence Day is very special. This year, the flag ceremony is held in the new capital of Nusantara, or IKN, with the Garuda Palace as the main location. The flag raising troop, or Paskibraka, is the main focus of preparations,
After undergoing strict selection and intensive training at Wiladatika Recreation Park, Cibubur, the troop underwent educational concentration, which included national insight, leadership, and marching. This process took place from July 13 to August 10, 2024. To become the troop members, selected students from various provinces in the country must fulfill various strict requirements, from superior academic achievement, high discipline, to excellent physical and mental abilities. The flag raising troop is divided into several teams, namely Troop 17 as a company or guide, Troop 8 as a flag bearer, and Troop 45 as bodyguard. Training for the flag raising troop members has been a tradition since the era of the second Indonesian President Suharto. This formation was first organized by Hussein Mutahar in 1967 with the idea of celebrating independence starting on August 17, 1946 in Yogyakarta. Information regarding the flag raising formation is confidential until one day or even 3 hours before the ceremony. The challenges of the troops training this year are somewhat different because it takes place at the new capital of Nusantara, IKN, East Kalimantan. Some factors such as weather and water availability are of particular concern to the troop members. The troop members who are selected high school students from all over the country show extraordinary dedication. The inauguration of the troop was carried out by the Minister of State Secretary Pratikno at IKN on August 10, 2024, followed by the red and white carnival from Jakarta to the Indonesian capital. Well, listeners, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Seumur hidup. hatiku.
Still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI digital mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Satu Tahun Lagi or One More Year by Raimon. The song was composed and popularized by Raimon, which was released on August 17, 2021, to celebrate the 76th Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia. It serves as an expression of gratitude to the Almighty for guiding the Indonesian nation through dark times and for preserving the unity of the Republic of Indonesia. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Raimon with Satu Tahun Lagi. Enjoy!
Terima kasih kepada
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Betapa hatiku takkan bisa
So much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at @voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.